in Vancouver. I am Planta on the line. This is thecommentary.ca. In previews now at the Stanley Industrial Alliance stage is the Arts Club Theatre Company's production of Glengarry Glen Ross. The David Mamet play opening next week reinvented the language of modern theatre, and this play, which won the Pulitzer Prize, looks at workplace struggles as a group of salesmen try to survive and attempt to pursue the American dream. The 1992 film starring Jack Lemmon, Al Pacino, and Kevin Spacey might be more familiar to some, which immortalized the place of Glengarry Glen Ross as one of the great dramatic works of the 20th century. This Arts Club production runs until August 22nd. The cast is headed by Will and Grace star Eric McCormick and includes some of Vancouver's finest actors, Gerard Plunkett, Vincent Gale, Brian Markinson, Bart Anderson, and Darren Herbert. Another member of this remarkable company is John Piper Ferguson, who joins me now. His television credits are legion. I looked him up on IMDb, and it looks like he's appeared in every single television drama there is, including the last episode of Lost. And from where I remember him most, the season and a half he appeared on Brothers and Sisters. He will also be appearing in Score, the hockey musical, which opens the Toronto International Film Festival later this year. He was also in Hardcore Logo and Unforgiven. This is not the first time he's appeared with the Arts Club. He was previously seen in Unidentified Human Remains. Glengarry Glen Ross is directed by Michael Shimada. Go to artsclub.com for tickets and more information. Please welcome to the Planta Online program, John Piper Ferguson. Good morning, Mr. Ferguson.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. How long have you lived in Vancouver?
Well, I actually don't live in Vancouver anymore. I've lived in Los Angeles for the last 17 years, but I grew up in Vancouver. I went to high school here, went to FFU, went to New Westminster College, and then after that went to the U of A, so in Edmonton there.
Where did you go to high school here in Vancouver?
Handsworth Secondary. Where? Over in North Van there.
Is that right? Yeah. How did you come to this role in this Arts Club production?
Well, actually, it's a bunch of buddies doing it, as it turns out, who've, I met Eric, 20 years ago on the street here, in Vancouver while I was sitting at Starbucks, with, his old acting teacher who I was taking class from at the time, said hi, and then it wasn't long after that that I moved to Los Angeles, and Eric and I actually became friends down in Los Angeles. Also, Vince Gale's in the production, another excellent actor, and I've worked with Vince all over the place over the years. And in fact, the first television gig I ever did was with Vince in Drumheller, Alberta. So Vince and I have known each other for 24 years. And then Gerald Plunkett, who I've another actor I've met here in Vancouver, about the same time as Eric, and Brian Markinson, who I only recently met, and then Bart Anderson as well, who I know here from Vancouver because we used to take some classes together. And one night, Eric and Vince and myself and Jerry were in a bar having beers. This is maybe 3 years ago. And Eric said, "Hey, man, what play could we all do together?" And within probably 5 minutes, we'd all sort of mentioned this play, Glengarry Glen Ross, as a vehicle for us, and that just launched it. Later, Eric and Vince checked into the rights, and then they took it to Bill Millard at the Arts Club, and he said yes, and they worked it into the season. That's basically how it happened.
Is it competitive amongst all you guys in rehearsal and stuff like that?
Healthy competition. Everyone wants just to do their best, and you know, every day someone ups it a notch, which is the way to do it. No one's trying to kill anybody or anything like that. So it's we're all racing to the same finish line.
Because it is pretty intense stuff, and one wonders, does it boil out of character and provide some tension amongst the cast?
Well, there's actually no tension, but what it does do is we all know each other so well that it just kind of informs the language a bit better, and in many ways it actually just frees us up to be more vicious to one another in the performances, because no one's taking it personally, but the characters sure are.
Is acting like sales?
Is acting like sales? God, I hope not, but I think you're right.
Yeah.
That's just a sad realization for me in this very moment. sure, I'm not like anything, you know, like any business, I'm sure everything is sales at some point. You've got to convince people that either you're the guy or your product is the thing. It's just in our circumstance, the product is yourself. So there's all that business.
Did you think you could have ever been a salesman like the guys in the play?
Like the guys in the play? No. No, I don't think so. That's what I think. That's sort of the gift of acting is it's just fantastical, and you can go in and pretend to be these people, or you know, a nuclear physicist, or whomever you're cast as. That you don't necessarily have the makeup, but you take the part of your personality that would be utilized in those circumstances to make it possible.
And it just seems like this play, Glengarry Glen Ross, it just seems timely for the sort of times that we're in, right?
Wow, it sure does. You know, it seems to have, you know, with the, particularly in Vancouver, with the way real estate has been over the years, and then it seems like Vancouver's in this spot of just not quite knowing whether it's going to keep exploding or level out or go somewhere with these worldwide recessions and whatnot. Yes, I think it's exciting and topical.
What do you learn from Mamet about your craft, about being an actor?
Well, I think, you know, he's inflammatory if you read any of his books on acting and the theater, and I think it's intentional to create conversation and get people to investigate it further. His language is, it's kind of, in contradiction all the time. It's so complicated and yet it's so simple. And you just have to dive in and as he asks of the actors, just have a strong intention behind it and go. Learn your lines. Know what the play is about. Know what the themes are about. Have something behind the words and have at it. He kind of simplifies it to a point, and then he does that in this play too. You know, he talks about in the process, in the rehearsal process, sometimes the best thing is at the table. Once you stand up and move around, it gets more complicated, and you can lose elements by that. And so, in the first act, everybody's sitting at tables. Nobody gets up from the tables. It's pretty fascinating.
And the male characters, and he's known for drawing them out quite well.
Mm-hmm.
What do you learn about being a male, having done this play?
Well, I think they're all hunter gatherers. You know, there's not a vegetable to be harvested here. Everyone's out there killing. It's kill or be killed. It's survival of the fittest. And you're certainly not going to make it unless you have. Unless you have that within you, and if that kind of piece of Americana there's this documentary called Salesman where these guys are going around. I think it's in the mid '60s, and they're selling Bibles to people who can't afford them. And you have to have that. You have to have that sense of self-importance that you have to survive more than the other person.
Now, your character, Dave Moss, he has a distinction of saying the F word 69 times in the play, I understand. Is that right?
I haven't counted. I don't know if he says fuck 69 times. That's maybe a little excessive, but I don't know. It's quite possible.
Yeah. The F word is used 145 times, and you say it 69 times. That's from my understanding from the stuff that the people at the Arts Club sent me.
Really?
Yeah. How do you, I mean, I assume you don't use fuck in your daily life as much.
Well, I have to tell you that I've been using it a lot over the last month and a half. It just becomes, you know, you're doing it, and it just becomes a natural form of expression. In particular, you know, whatever you practice is what you become. So there's, I'm certainly saying, certainly using it a lot in my vocabulary right now, more than usual, that's for sure.
Yeah. I guess you do get used to it, right?
Oh yeah, you got to be comfortable with it, and use it at every opportunity.
Yeah. Is this a play that'll shock people? I guess because of the vulgarity in it.
Well, it's certainly. I mean, that's just going to be personal, you know. I think it's authentic. I don't think it's inauthentic. And I often think that it's easier to sort of watch it displayed in these circumstances than it is if you're confronted with it in your real life. You know, the audience is participating in a different manner. That's not as they're not on the stage, as it were, you know, responding to that or responding to the person in the cafe who's having a meltdown. You're such an observer looking through the keyhole that I don't think it's a problem.
Now, a lot of people who are familiar with the play, like myself, the only time I've ever seen it is because of the movie. Do you watch the movie in preparation for doing this on the stage?
I don't. I saw the movie years ago. Movies are so powerful, and for me they can kind of stick with me a little too much, so that I would possibly end up doing imitation as opposed to developing my own Dave Moss, or the Dave Moss that is for this production. The movie's different than the play in that that Alec Baldwin's speech does not exist in the play.
Right.
It was specifically for the movie, and then these long scenes, of course, have been broken up, and some of the dialogue has changed within them. So it's not exactly the play. In answer to that is no, I don't. I mean, I know that sometimes when I've worked on stuff in classes and worked on my craft, that I've seen the movie of a play, and it's really affected my ability to do my own thing, that if it's a great performance, kind of imitating it for a certain amount of time before I find my way. So I haven't seen it. I don't know if I'll see it during the run or if I'll watch it again afterwards. I haven't decided what I'm going to do with that yet.
In the intro, I mentioned that I looked you up on IMDb, you've just got a ton of credits to your name. Is it a steady career for you? Like, are you working all the time?
You know, it ebbs and flows, and it's peaks and valleys. There's right now, I just want to keep climbing that mountain. Right now, it's fantastic. It's just gig after gig after gig. I'm pretty happy about that. Lots of television, and I've got like 4 features coming out at this point, and Score, the hockey musical, just got selected to be the opening film at the Toronto International Film Festival, so that's really exciting for a Canadian film to open the festival and to be a part of that. I'm really excited about that. Just had an episode of Rookie Blue air, which shot in Toronto, and episode of White Collar coming up August 2nd, which is shot in New York. Things are good, man.
Yeah.
Keep it coming.
And now, without getting into numbers, is it a comfortable living one makes from acting in sort of guest roles on television?
It is not a comfortable living.
No.
If you were doing it on a regular basis, a week-to-week basis, I think it would be a comfortable living. But when you break it down, you know, you read for these things and you get the role, and it's about a week before you start, and then it's a week and a half in. It's kind of like 2.5 weeks, and you're getting paid for 1 week, and you can't get the next job in a lot of circumstances until you're off of that job, and then you've got to start all over and get wound up. So ideally, if you're just doing guest stars, you could do 12 a year, which would be an exorbitant amount, unheard of, sort of, for someone even like myself, who's recognizable but not a celebrity. And that is just barely a living.
I'm assuming that the work in the theater experience that you've had previously, informs the acting that one does in film and television. Does the film and TV stuff, does that inform the acting on the stage?
Yeah, absolutely. It's all for me at least. It's all acting. It's all figuring it out. It's the film and TV brings a kind of a naturalism and ease to the work on stage, where you find that you don't have to work as hard, and then the stage informs the film and the TV in terms of getting passionate and in terms of a lot of blocking and what you learn from being on a stage, because they just don't have the time to teach it to you or learn it in film and TV. You're sort of thrown into the pit with film and TV, and without that background, you can kind of be lost at sea.
Now, I'm assuming that because of, I mentioned earlier that it is quite an intense play, that it is grueling for an actor, and that one needs a lot of stamina to do Mamet, say. Do you?
I think you need stamina, period, just within the business itself. I don't know, if you're in shape and you eat healthy and you get your sleep, I think you can do anything. And like anything, you know, if you haven't trained for a marathon and you go run one, you're going to be sore afterwards. But if you train, you're just going to be tired, and you're going to take a couple days rest and be back at your regular fare within a few days. It's really about staying in shape and in terms of the acting, in terms of your abilities, in terms of your voice, in terms of your body, all that kind of stuff. So, I'm certainly not kicking my ass at this point, but I say that while we're in rehearsal. We're not in a run yet, so we'll see what happens when we get to 8 a week.
No, I mentioned earlier that I'm a big fan of Brothers and Sisters. Was that fun for you to do that show?
You know, the people on it were really great. Sally Field was amazing. Calista Flockhart was great as well, and the guys were great. It was a great experience. It also really helped me out and sort of get my face out there, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, you got to kiss two people that I've got mad crushes on, Rachel Griffiths and Emily Van Camp.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to kiss and tell.
Were you sad or disappointed that you couldn't have continued with that role?
It was bittersweet. There wasn't going to be a storyline for me after that, so it was time to go. They wanted to explore different avenues for Sarah's character, and so having lost out on the opportunity to be on a show for a long run was a bummer. But I wouldn't have gotten to do all these other things. I wouldn't have gotten to be in this movie Score that's at TIFF. I wouldn't be doing this play right now. I wouldn't have gotten to be in another Canadian film, just got released on DVD, Hungry Hills. I probably wouldn't have got to do Night for Dying Tigers, which is also coming. Wouldn't have gotten to work with Hilary Swank on Conviction. I'm much happier with the way things turned out in terms of the projects I've got to do and who I've gotten to work with and the experiences I've gotten as a person, whereas Brothers and Sisters, I was going to pretty much get pigeonholed because I wasn't a walker, you know. I was outside that family, and they weren't going to pursue my story that much after the breakup.
Are you singing in Score?
I am singing in Score.
Yeah. I've heard a lot about it already, and it seems like it's a fun and a fun film.
Well, you know, it's a dream come true, getting to play hockey, and I play the coach in it, strapping on some skates and getting on the ice and shooting my hockey movie, which I was terrified I wasn't going to get to do. So it came right at the right time. It was a fun bit. Noah Reed is the lead in it. He's an excellent young actor and a good kid. I've only seen the trailer online, so I can't really speak to the whole film, but it sure does look like a lot of fun. I think you're right.
And I understand that they're doing a sequel to Hardcore Logo. Are you in that?
I am not. I think it's already shot. I don't even think, I don't think Bernie shows up in it, and from my understanding, Hugh and Callum only show up in it for a beat. Like, it doesn't really, it's not our band, it's some other story, and I don't really know the whole thing about it. I know that Bruce has been trying for years to do, Hardcore Logo 2, and at various times it's been the Hardcore Logo guys, and at other times not, and this one that he was able to make was not, so.
John, it's been a pleasure to speak today, and we'll be seeing you in Glengarry Glen Ross next week. Break a leg.
Yeah, man, come on out and check it out.
There's a lot of talk about Score, the hockey musical, which comes out shortly. It opens the Toronto International Film Festival later this year. Glengarry Glen Ross is at the Stanley Industrial Alliance stage on Granville Street here in Vancouver until the 22nd of August. Visit artsclub.com for tickets and more information. One of the stars of this production, John Piper Ferguson, on the line in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.